This is Genesis 4. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked in the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer of the earth."
Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who played stringed instruments and pipes. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tool out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Adah made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord.
You're all familiar with the story of the Titanic. It was the ship that couldn't sink. It was going to make it across the Atlantic in record time. And if you've seen the film, it begins with everyone enjoying life on board ship. Even on the fatal night when the iceberg hits the ship, or the ship hits the iceberg, the people are partying on merrily, oblivious to the fact that tragedy is surely coming. Genesis 1 to 11 have been likened to the Titanic. Chapters 1 and 2 is like the Titanic setting sail. All is well. All is well with Adam and Eve in the garden. Chapter 3 is the iceberg. Adam and Eve's sin, from this moment on, disaster is inevitable. And chapters 3 to 11 is the gradual sinking of the ship. The curse of sin is worked out in the world. Today, then, we see sin progressing in the life of Adam and Eve's family. And it raises the question for us, why should I be acceptable to God? Death and sin are a reality now. They can't be escaped. On the day of judgment, when I stand before Jesus in all his glory, why should I be acceptable to God? After all, I'm a sinner. I've broken God's laws. When I seek God's help in prayer, why should I be acceptable to God? Today, we meet two brothers. One is acceptable to God, and one is not. We must learn from them. The context is, as we've seen, that God created a perfect world. He called it very good. But the people he put to live in the world, Adam and Eve, rejected God as king. They broke his law. They sinned. And that act of sin brought upon the world the curse of God. The great suffering which is in the world today is attributable to Adam and Eve's sin. We see that in chapter 3, Adam and Eve are ashamed. Their relationship with God is broken. Childbirth becomes painful. Work is cursed. But Romans 8:20 tells us, even from the beginning, there was hope. There was hope that creation would be restored when Jesus comes again. But for now, here in Genesis 4, we're left with the results of sin. Sin has brought God's curse on the world. And sin is lived out in the lives of these two brothers, Cain and Abel. Let me first tell you the story and then draw some lessons. And the outline is on the backs of your notice sheets. Firstly, then, the story. Verse 1, Adam and Eve are thrown out of the Garden of Eden. They're living in a sin-spoiled world. But they still have each other. It's part of God's grace that he gives us good things even in the midst of our suffering. And marriage is one such good thing. Sex is one such good thing within marriage. Eve gets pregnant and she gives birth to Cain. With the help of the Lord, she has brought forth a man. Later, she gives birth to his brother Abel. Abel keeps flocks. Cain grows crops. There is no value judgment. We need both. Both crops and animals would be represented in Israel's worship. Well, verse 3, Cain brings some of his crops as an offering to the Lord. Abel brings some of the firstborn of the flock in verse 4. This is all long before the tabernacle and the temple. It's long before the law. But even at this very early stage, Cain and Abel know they must worship God. They must be acceptable to God. So they bring him sacrifices. Now here's the thing. verse 4b. The Lord looks with favor on Abel and his offering, but not on Cain and his offering. Cain is very angry and downcast. Verse 6, God speaks to Cain. Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? You're in sin, Cain. You've messed up. But even now, it's not too late. Verse 7, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? God is gracious to Cain. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God warns Cain that sin is crouching at the door. Sin will take him over if he allows it to. Does Cain listen to God? No. Verse 8. He murders his brother Abel in the field. Then he lies to God in verse 9. He pretends he doesn't know where his brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? And so Cain hears the judgment of God, verse 10. What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And just as the whole world is cursed following Adam's sin, so verse 11, Cain is cursed because of his sin. You are under a curse and driven from the ground. You will be a restless warrior, wanderer on the earth. And yet, even in judgment, God shows mercy. Verse 15, Cain is protected by God. Whoever kills him will face the vengeance of God. Cain is marked in some way so that he will not be killed. Nonetheless, Cain is to wander the earth away from the Lord's presence in the land of Nod. What a wonderful place the land of Nod is. Just don't go there during this sermon. And then we get Cain's family tree. He too gets the love of a wife and a family. And yet there is sin in Cain's family. His descendant Lamech marries two women, which is sin. Bigamy is sin. His children contribute to the development of culture, farming, music, bronze and ironworks. But Lamech himself is a murderer, just like Cain. And whereas Cain succumbed to temptation, Lamech exults in it. He sings about it. The murder is grotesquely disproportionate. He kills a boy for wounding him. Cain is avenged 7 times, Lamech 77 times. In other words, Lamech is far worse than Cain. And at this point, Cain's line is removed from the story. Cain's family are not elect. They are not the people of God. And so, the story goes back to Adam and Eve, generations earlier. And we see that they had another child, Seth. And Seth's family are elect. They are the people of God. Well, what can we learn from this story? Well, let me draw some lessons. Firstly, God is very gracious. We don't work our way to God based on our own goodness. God reaches out to us in his grace. There is so much grace in this story. There is marriage and family life. This is a tremendous gift of God's grace. Family life is hard. We struggle to love one another. But it is a gift of grace. Family life is hard, but to be without family is harder still. My parents have a decorator in at the moment. He quite openly told them the story of how he committed adultery and fractured his family. He longs to rewind the tape. He wants his family back. But he can't have them now. Family is a gift of grace. And we shouldn't squander it. We must respond to God's grace. Cain ignored God's offer of grace in verse 7. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Even after he commits murder, Cain experiences grace from God. He's protected by God. He's given the love of a family. He is given illustrious descendants. God is very gracious. But secondly, sin is crouching at the door. Few American football coaches have made a point against drugs as effectively as Irk Russell of Georgia Southern College. He arranged for a couple of boys to burst into a team meeting and throw a writhing, hissing, 6-foot-long rattlesnake onto a table in front of the squad. Everyone screamed and scattered, Russell recalls. I told them, when cocaine comes into a room, you're not nearly as apt to leave as when the rattlesnake comes in. But they'll both kill you. God says something similar here. Sin is crouching at the door, like a wild animal, waiting to kill you. Remember that Cain's offering is rejected by God. Then God says to him, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Verse 7. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Cain is seduced into killing his brother. Lamech becomes even more violent. This is the reality we all face. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires to rule over us. Is there any hope of resisting temptation? Is it possible to rule over sin? Yes. Jesus was tempted. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Hebrews 4:12. Jesus was tempted, just as we are, and Jesus will help us. Jesus is our sympathetic high priest He comes alongside us to strengthen us. We can be honest with God. Be honest about where we're tempted. We're all tempted. We must face up to it. Sin is crouching at the door. Satan wants to disrupt our relationship with Jesus and dishonor Jesus and the church in the world, and moreover, to take us to hell. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have us. But there is hope here, verse 7. We must rule over it. How do you rule over sin? Answer, with Jesus' help. Listen to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This should be our daily prayer. This should be our prayer throughout the day. Deliver me from temptation, Lord. Deliver me from evil. Secondly, we should be quick to repent. Cain was given the opportunity to repent before he committed murder. Cain chose not to repent. And he just went deeper into sin. Remember the truth of Scripture. This is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. Jeremiah 15:9. Be quick to repent. Because God loves us. He wants us to come back to him. Don't be like Cain and Lamech, who when they sinned, just went further and further away from God. Thirdly, if we know that certain circumstances expose us to temptation, don't go there. Very obvious example, if you're an alcoholic, don't go to the pub. That's an obvious example. Life is often not that straightforward. You and I know where we're tempted to sin. Can we take steps not to be exposed to that temptation? Or if you have to go there, can you go into that situation praying for deliverance from temptation and evil? My guess is we forget. And then we're tempted, and then we sin. Sin is very serious. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it. Thirdly, we must come to God on the basis of faith. What was the fundamental difference between Cain and Abel? The New Testament helps us. 1 John 3:12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain belonged to the evil one. And so does everyone who doesn't belong to Jesus. You belong either to Jesus or Satan. That's Ephesians 2:1. Without Jesus, we follow the devil. He's at work in us. We're all just like Cain. It may not be murder we commit, but we follow Satan and follow the desires and thoughts of our sinful nature. How can we get out of this situation? How can we avoid ending up like Cain? How can we avoid wrecking our lives with sin? The answer If you forget everything else I say this morning, remember this. The answer is faith. We must have faith. We must come to God on the basis of faith. Abel is held up to us as an example of faith. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though dead. Abel is an example of faith. Sir Wilfrid Grenfell was a medical missionary in Canada, and he found himself adrift on an ice floe headed out to sea. It was pretty serious. So he killed his dogs and made a coat out of their hides. He put up a distress flag. He lay down and he slept. He said, he survived, and he said afterwards, there was nothing to fear. I had done all I could. The rest lay in God's hands. That's an example of faith. God can be trusted. He loves us. He is in control. Abel had faith. He trusted God. And in Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. The way to be saved from ending up like Cain is on the basis of God's grace, God's undeserved love and blessing. We are to have faith. We're saved through faith. We're saved from hell, from God's judgment, for heaven, for God's love, through faith. Faith means trust. Like William Grenfell, trust in God. So the great question is, what are we trusting in? Cain trusted in himself, and it took him to hell. But Abel was different. Abel was a man of faith. He trusted in God. Hebrews 11:4 again. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. Abel is speaking to us this morning. He's saying, don't be like my brother. Don't rely on yourself. Abel is saying to us, be like me. I had faith. It is faith in Jesus which gives us victory over sin. Because Jesus loved us and died for us on the cross, taking the punishment of God, the just punishment of God for our sin, because Jesus took this on himself on the cross, we can escape judgment, we can escape punishment in hell. We receive this by faith. We put our trust in Jesus. And when we do this, God puts his Spirit in us to empower us to live a life which honors and pleases him. And that's how Genesis 4 ends. Cain's family will not follow God. But God will have a people for himself, the people of Seth's line, a people of faith. And just like Abel, in verse 26, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. People turned to God. Why should I be acceptable to God? Abel was acceptable. Cain was not acceptable. Are you acceptable to God? It's only in Jesus that we're acceptable to God. If we have any other answer, then we are not acceptable to God. My goodness will not be enough. My credentials will not be enough. We are sinners. We're under the judgment of God. Unless we come to Jesus and put our trust in him.